I'm Gordon Evans. I am speaking with Gary Wager. He is Executive Director of the Kalamazoo River Cleanup Coalition. Bruce Merchant is Retired Public Services Director for the City of Kalamazoo. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Gordon.
Let's talk a little bit about the Allied Paper landfill site, the PCB contamination there. Where do things stand as we near the end of 2013?
Currently, the EPA is in the process of trying to get the site closed, and that means they go through what's called the Superfund process. They have already published a remedial investigation. That was published a number of years ago, and that kind of identified the problem, and they're in the process of getting ready to publish the draft feasibility study, which is basically what the options are associated with cleanup of the site, all the way from doing nothing to total removal. They'd like to do that prior to the end of the year. We don't know if that's going to happen. And then that starts a public comment process probably sometime in the spring. So currently at the end of 2013, we're kind of waiting on the EPA, which has kind of been part of the process all along. They have certain steps they have to follow. And so we're waiting for the draft feasibility study at this point.
When you say the options range from doing nothing to total removal is what you are asking the EPA to approve, correct?
That's correct.
Doing nothing would not include capping and monitoring. That is something more than nothing, right?
Correct. They're required to look at both those options, however.
Okay. Explain what capping and monitoring means.
What they have done at other landfills along the Kalamazoo River is basically consolidate the material into a more concise footprint and then put a impermeable cap over the top of the material and then some soil, put some vegetation in, sink some wells around the landfill, and make sure nothing's migrating away from it. And there's other nuances to that, but generally that's what they have done at other locations and what they generally mean by cap and monitor.
What's the problem with that solution?
I've got several problems with it, one being the waste remains in place and there's no liner underneath and the waste material remains in contact with the groundwater. So there's constant contact with the groundwater. The ability for the pollutants to move is continues even though they're monitoring it. Generally, by the time you find it, you've already got a problem. And it leaves space that can't be used for anything else. You can't build anything on top of that. It's basically fenced off, and you can't use it. And so it's a rather inexpensive but ineffective way, in my opinion, to handle the material.
And, you know, Gordon, the EPA points to, as Bruce mentioned, some of the other sites where they have used the con and cap, consolidate and cap method. But they are none of those are inside an incorporated city limits in a residential area similar to the Allied site.
Are they more rural?
Right, areas? They're more rural and not in proximity to, as the Allied site is, just the other side of the fence is a senior citizen's home. There's a couple of elementary schools within a stone's throw, and it's certainly surrounded by residential and commercial development inside the city limits of Kalamazoo.
The question, of course, gets raised about how much this is going to cost if there were going to be a total removal versus a cap and monitor type solution. How much would it cost? Do we have a good estimate right now?
Well, we received an estimate from EQ, an environmental quality company. They own the landfill, the high-level landfill, TSCA-approved landfill over by Detroit, by Willow Run Airport, near Belleville, Michigan. And that started out a few years ago at $98 million, and because of various factors has increased to about $126 million, I believe, currently, which sounds like a lot of money, and I guess actually it is. But the EPA has a figure of somewhere around $366 million. Again, we're talking about the total, the cost of the total removal option. So one of the things that Bruce and our mayor has been negotiating with the EPA is to get a better, a finer look at why there's such a disparity in the projected costs. EQ says that they will do the work. It's not just a bid. It's actually their price for doing the work of $126 million. Meanwhile, the EPA's estimation is $200 million higher or more. So trying to find out what it is that's making such a big difference. And obviously, when you're looking at the alternatives in the feasibility study that Bruce mentioned, from doing nothing to total removal, cost is a figure, is a criterion that you look at. So $366 million versus $126 million obviously makes the total removal option, views it in a different light based on such a wide disparity in costs.
Is there a cost estimate for capping and monitoring?
The last one I saw was about $36 million or so. That's for the con and cap. We call it the kitty litter option, you know, where you do your business in the sand and cover it up and walk away. I got into trouble with that once, though, because, you know, kitty litter actually has chemicals in it that helps neutralize the odor. There wouldn't be any benefit like that if we just kick sand on it here. And as Bruce mentioned, it would be unavailable for future development, which is part of the problem with the con and cap routine. But the EPA says that con and cap would cost roughly $36 million, and that we would continue essentially operating this toxic waste dump in perpetuity. So one of the features of the con and cap plan is they would send a check to Lansing for like $3 million. So sending a check to Lansing for $3 million, what could go wrong? Besides that, the fact is, in perpetuity turns out to be roughly 30 years. You know, you and I might think of in perpetuity as pretty much
forever.
Being forever. But it turns out that an asset, like a toxic waste storage facility that we're talking about, is amortized over a 30-year period. So that $3 million check is designed to take care of the operating cost for this toxic waste storage facility inside the city limits of Kalamazoo for only 30 years. So on year 31, what happens?
Just to perhaps raise a point of question on the whole cost and doing this right. How confident are you in that EQ cost estimate that it can be done correctly? Because obviously there could be some problems with removal of PCBs if they're not done in a safe and effective way. Are you confident that what you've seen of EQ, they would do it right for that amount of money?
They do it all the time. For instance, back in 2007, which is when our group, the River Cleanup Coalition, got started, the material that was removed from the dredging site in Plainwell, it was proposed to come to the Allied site, and we were able to change the EPA's mind, and they went back and got some more money and took the material to approved landfills, including EQs. So EQ is the place where the high-level material is going to end up from any site that's cleaned up around here. They're one of, I think it's six in the United States that are capable of taking this high level of PCB waste. So the specifications of their facility are extremely stringent, and it's a very well-engineered facility and designed specifically to take this type of material.
Which, therefore, would not make it sort of a not-in-my-backyard sort of thing. This is not pushing off PCB contamination onto some other city, some other neighborhood. It is putting it someplace where it's designed, or at least where the landfill was designed to hold it. Is that
right.
The right way of looking
and,
at it?
You know, it used to be NIMBY, not in my backyard, but now it's not in anybody's backyard. You know, that's what you're designed, what you're looking for is not to be in anybody's backyard. So EQ facility is bordered by the Willow Run Airport, I-94. It's an industrial area. And it's not just that it's not close to a nearby church. It's also geologically appropriate for this type of material. You know, one of the reasons there's only such a few number of sites like this is that it's difficult to find a place that geologically is capable of storing underground toxic waste and not near a church or school or whatever. So that's the original reason for the site selection of EQ's facility.
They've been in the business quite a while, and the city in investigating the issues associated with the EQ and their price, they have familiarity with that, just handling the waste, but also with cleanup. And because they would oversee and control the cleanup process, they can bring certain economies of scale to the cleanup operation. Plus, they've already constructed the landfill space. So they have some abilities to control costs that we don't believe EPA has that same ability to do those things.
Let's go back for a moment and talk about that 2007 controversy involving the idea of bringing PCBs from Plainwell down to Kalamazoo. If that had not been proposed, would the reaction in the community right now be perhaps not quite as strong as it has been to the idea of getting this site cleaned up? Did that sort of change the awareness out there in the public?
Oh, I think definitely. So, you know, back in 2007 when the EPA first announced their plan of, this was in February, I believe, or March of 2007, at a press conference in Plainwell, they announced their plan, and it was to bring roughly 125,000 cubic yards of PCB-contaminated material from their cleanup site in Plainwell and dump it at the Allied site, to add to the pile, if you will, that was already there. When we started to organize people and let people know that this was the plan, and certainly the city commissioners at the time were part of the organizing effort, there were a lot of people who thought the problem had already been cleaned up because of the cleanup in 1998 and 99, whereby the Bryant Mill Pond was essentially drained, and then the contaminated sediments consolidated into the pile that exists today at the Allied site. They thought that was the end of it. And one aspect of what the EPA said at that time when they were doing the Bryant Mill Pond cleanup was that this was going to be a temporary situation. Well, you and I, when we think of temporary, you think of, well, they're just consolidating this material and the trucks will come next year or something to take it away or whatever it might be. But it turns out, as we found out in 2007, that the EPA's using the term temporary was that they weren't done filling it yet. And so the plan was when the material came from Plainwell, they would then fill it the rest of the way, put the cap on it, as Bruce mentioned, make sure there's, you have a nice new fence around it to keep people out forever. Then it became permanent.
Interesting interpretations of the term temporary and in perpetuity.
Right.
That's the right. Timeline.
Time is, as we all know, is relative, but we didn't really realize quite how relative it was in terms of the EPA's take on that.
At the time of the PCB question of moving the contamination from Plainwell to here, it was pointed out that in Wisconsin, I believe it was Green Bay, there had been a similar initiative that the town there successfully managed to get the EPA to change their opinion on. There was some question later on about whether that was the best outcome that came out of it. But still, I guess I'm wondering now with the situation with Allied Paper, is there another model out there? Is there another city that's had a similar situation and has been able to get the EPA to take another look at it and reconsider?
Well, there's a number of cleanup sites, of course, across the country. A couple of them can draw some, I think, fairly direct parallels with. One is, as you mentioned, is the Fox River in Wisconsin, where, again, it's a concentration of paper mills that originally generated the contamination. And then you also have, of course, the Hudson River cleanup in New York, which is another large scale. The sourcing is a little different, but nonetheless somewhat similar in that it's a PCB cleanup of sediments in a watershed. I'm not aware of any other than the fact that oftentimes what happens is the same process that we're going through, whereby the EPA has a particular plan, they float the plan, and then the public has a chance to comment, as Bruce mentioned, the Superfund process. But some differences in that, for instance, in the Fox River, it's my understanding that it's not being, it isn't an EPA lead Superfund site. We're here in Kalamazoo, at the Kalamazoo River, we have an EPA lead Superfund site. And another important difference, I think, is there in the Fox River, you still have operating paper mills. You have a concentration of ongoing businesses that provide you with revenue source, essentially, the polluter pays kind of thing, whereby if you have a viable business and a number of viable businesses that are sharing this public resource, which would be the river, now you have an opportunity to, for instance, one of the things I know they're doing in the Fox River cleanup is to actually treat the lower-level material on site, whereas here in the Kalamazoo River, we have a few responsible parties that are still left with some liability, and there's some question about who those are, who companies are still. But we don't have ongoing viable businesses that are using the river currently. So it's more difficult to fund, like, innovations or different techniques that are available at the Fox River, for instance.
The city has done some investigation. There was a site in New Bedford, Massachusetts. It was an old railroad yard with PCB contamination, probably associated more with transformer oil than issues in Kalamazoo. And that site was cleaned up. It was on a waterfront area. And we believe, we don't have all the data because some of it's probably hard to get at. There's a lot of private investment there that probably drove that cleanup. We've asked EPA for similarly situated sites and cleanup and have gotten rather inadequate answers as far as other locations where it's been successful. And I guess we could talk about the definition of successful as well, but we're still looking at that, but we're not hopeful that there's something exactly the same somewhere.
In terms of the definition of successful, and we talked about cost earlier, I want to ask you about some of the things that Dale Harrison has said. He was the president of the Kalamazoo River Protection Association. He has raised some questions about using up the available money and then that not being available for some of the areas downstream, which have also have some PCB contamination. Does he have a legitimate concern that maybe concentrating the issue here in Kalamazoo could have an impact that those other communities do not have available money and resources to clean up PCB contamination that they've suffered?
I think Dale has some very, he's very passionate about the issue. Dale's been involved in the Kalamazoo River PCB issue for years, decades, and he's very knowledgeable about a variety of factors associated with it. I think some of the questions about costs are always going to be there. There's a finite amount of money because, as Gary pointed out, we don't have many active mills on the Kalamazoo River anymore. And finding those responsible parties, in fact, for the Allied site, we've even had the responsible party go through bankruptcy, which limited dollars available. So I think we're going to be fighting the dollar issue regardless of what we do. One of the concerns I have is do we want to just get it something done all the way downstream, or do we want to do it in a proper, methodical way? And I think Dale is in favor of doing cleanup, but I'm hesitant to say that leaving 1.5 million cubic yards at the most upstream end of the Superfund site of the Kalamazoo River in perpetuity is solving the problem. And hopefully, if dollars could be found for the Allied site and some of the efforts that have been in place with citizens and involvement of the KRCC could be models for downstream efforts to obtain more effective cleanup downstream.
Recently, people might have heard that the Environmental Protection Agency was holding a meeting about what was called completion of the Portage Creek cleanup project. Is there completion of the Portage Creek cleanup project, as far as anyone knows?
I believe there is. Back in 2010, I believe, they identified that there was some higher concentrations of PCBs in the sediment of Portage Creek, roughly from Reed Street north to the confluence of the creek with the Kalamazoo River. EPA went through a very intensive time-critical removal action to remove those sediments, bypassed the creek, and cleaned up these sediments that remained. It was interesting that it wasn't EPA that found out that information. Sampling that the MDEQ had done, because they were still seeing relatively stable concentrations of PCBs in fish tissue, and were wondering about where that ongoing source was. And so they did some ongoing monitoring along Portage Creek and found these hot spots. And so over the last 2.5 years, EPA has been cleaning up that section of the Portage Creek. And they've completed that. And I was involved with that when I was with the city, and I felt they did a very effective job of cleaning up that portion. So if we want to say that's complete, that's complete. What's south of Alcott Street, however, isn't complete, and there's still ongoing sources of PCB going into the creek at that location.
And, you know, Gordon, as you mentioned, the headline in the flyer that the EPA sends out when they're going to have some sort of meeting or an event like this to celebrate the successful cleanup, if they just would have had something besides, it said that the headline was something about the completion of the Portage Creek cleanup. And as Bruce pointed out, what you have is you have a very good job of cleaning up a section of Portage Creek, a very limited and defined point from Reed Street to the confluence, whereas just above where they started the cleanup, for instance, we have 1.5 million cubic yards of PCB-contaminated sediments, which the EPA will admit is contributing PCBs to Portage Creek as we speak. And, you know, their justification, and I understand it, about why is it that, you know, a common person like myself would say, well, why is it we're cleaning downstream of this huge pile of PCBs, right? But the answer is, of course, they dredged to depths of 6 feet of sediment, which took decades to accumulate there in the creek. And that's where all the contamination came from, is when we had active industrial processes ongoing upstream from those sites, which we haven't had for now decades again. So essentially, the Allied site is leaking PCBs into Portage Creek at a very minute rate compared to the concentrations you find in the sediments that took decades to accumulate there. So it is a good thing. We are getting ahead of the curve here, if you will. However, to have the headline be the completion of the Portage Creek cleanup just kind of struck me the wrong way.
When would you expect that we will know a final decision on cleanup of the Allied paper landfill site?
I wouldn't be comfortable making a guess. You know, I've been involved in this issue since 2007. And at each point when the EPA puts out some sort of deadline that we'll be doing X by November, then November comes and goes, and then we'll be doing X by May of next year. And then, you know, so any sort of time frame. You know, overall, the EPA has given us several time frames because the cleanup, of course, doesn't involve just the Allied site. As Bruce mentioned, and you mentioned about Dale Harrison, for instance, there is the majority of the PCBs, is downstream. You know, behind each dam, the sediments accumulate, and they're contaminated with PCBs from historic paper mill operations. So the majority of the concentration of PCBs is downstream. And this is a longer-term process. And I'm afraid, I know Dale pretty well, and he's about as old as I am, and I don't think either one of us are going to see the end of this cleanup. So what we're hoping, I think I can speak for him when I say what we're hoping to do is set the cleanup in motion, make sure that we keep a good eye on the cleanup and get the best possible cleanup we possibly can for generations to come.
The EPA has somewhat uniquely, I think, in this situation, added steps to the process. And I think it's with the intent of trying to keep the public involved. But, for instance, typically the next step would be publication of the feasibility study. Here's the alternatives. Here's our recommended remedy. they're adding some steps in there. They want to do availability sessions starting in late January, early February, where they will say, well, here's a feasibility study and here's a range of options, but we're not going to tell you what our recommended remedy is. We want your reaction to what they recommend, what all the potential remedies are. And I think it's a combination of trying to buy time and also to test the local reaction to those options. So I think the EPA would desire something as far as our recommended remedy sometime in the spring of 2014. Whether or not they achieve that, I would hope wouldn't happen, because I think we have a lot of alternatives and options that could be discussed. Plus, I think the feasibility of the total removal option is viable and needs to be investigated more before they pronounce this is their remedy.
So between now and whenever a final decision comes out, what will you be doing, both of you?
Well, for one thing, you know, to quote, I use this quote all the time from Dale Harrison back in 2007. He says that there's a number of technical aspects to the problem. You know, the chemistry of PCBs, the hydrology, geology, you know, all these ologies. There's plenty of technical aspects to the problem, but the solution is political. So what essentially is our task, those of us who believe that what we need to do is get this stuff out of our community and not leave it here for in perpetuity or any longer than actually absolutely necessary, is to do some of the work that we've already begun. For instance, Congressman Fred Upton, as well as our Senators Stabenow and Levin, have signed a joint letter to the EPA in support of the total removal option. Mayor Hopewell and Bruce and others have gone and talked with our political representatives in Washington, D.C. The city has earmarked some money to hire a lobbyist to see what can be done in terms of moving towards some sort of federal funding. You know, we have a funding gap here, basically, Gordon. You know, the bankruptcy settlement that Bruce mentioned left a trust fund of $50 million earmarked for the Allied site cleanup. And as you'll recall, the lowest estimate we've found so far is $126 million. So there's a funding gap there. So it takes the political will of people who think, as we do, that we need to get this stuff out of here to apply political pressure on our representatives and find a way to fund the toll removal option. And in regards to Dale and other people's concerns, as far as there is no finite pot of money. There's no money devoted right now in any sort of adequate numbers to fund the entire cleanup of the Kalamazoo River Superfund site. So as Bruce mentioned, we're always going to have to be finding money in order to do this cleanup. The difference between the $50 million that's in the trust fund and the $126 million that it would take to clean it up is our now roughly $70-some-odd million dollars. That's not going to affect the outcome of the entire Superfund cleanup. It's not enough money to do it. It's not really even what you could call a significant portion of the money to do. So we just need to work on getting the political support to get this stuff cleaned up.
Gary is exactly right in that we're looking at a political solution to this issue. Currently, the city is working on a number of fronts. First of all the city commissioners are squarely behind total removal and have gone on record. So is the county commission, and several other local bodies have said they're in support of that. We're also looking at the state level. As we look at that site, if there's total removal, there's a lot of development opportunities for that entire area, not just for the Allied site itself. And what kind of redevelopment dollars could be available, and also revitalization dollars for the neighborhoods, because that's a critical piece to this as well. And there's also the federal level, and not just Washington, but Chicago, because as we look toward influencing the decision, right now the decision is at Region 5, which is in Chicago. It's not in Washington. And so what do we need to do to influence that decision politically in Chicago is a question we're trying to figure out, and how do we move forward with that.
Gentlemen, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
Bruce Merchant is retired public services director for the city of Kalamazoo. Gary Wager is the executive director of the Kalamazoo River Cleanup Coalition.